I've been having a lot of problems. I go to therapy for my leg and my arm, and I go to eye doctors. I got one eye and had three cornea transplants on it, and but I can still see about 20/40.
You can read large print books, you know.
That's what?
You can read large print books. Yeah.
You know, you can't travel anymore. You don't. There's not much to live for.
He's been depressed, kind of. You know, we have to just keep.
Well, it's television.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We watch movies here, yeah. There's plenty of things going on around here, too.
We belong to Netflix, if you know what that is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we should try to get some decent movies once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about writing a book? I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to write. All you got to do is get a little tape recorder.
Our life's got a book in it, but we just don't know how to get it out.
Well, I'll tell you how to get it out.
We need a ghostwriter or something to do it for us.
I'll tell you. You get a little tape recorder, and you know, some tapes. You don't need to. This is a fancy,
high tech. Yeah.
No, but I mean, this thing here is a fancy high tech gadget. Mm-hmm. But you need an old fashioned thing with the tapes.
I've got one.
Take a half hour, an hour. And you just turn it on, and you talk. Mm-hmm. You know, you could ask each other questions, you could correct each other. Mm-hmm. And then when you have it, when the tape is full, you start a new one, you take the old one, and you have somebody type it up.
Mm-hmm. I wrote my memoirs just like.
Oh, see?
It got started.
It's not good.
Then you blow it down.
Let me see.
No, I can't see it.
This trip. Two of the interviews that I did, well, Ray has done the same thing. He started in 1989.
I've got a copy of that.
Yeah, he says.
Do you?
Yeah.
And he's the same thing. He can't seem to finish it.
I got a copy of his. I think I still got it, and I got a copy of both.
Yeah, they all right. They all get the idea to do it.
I think I got those. I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, this trip, Ray set up an interview for me with a fellow named Lewis Reed. Now, he was not on the Castle Mission. He was on the Bataan Death March.
Okay. Right.
And he's in very frail shape. Mm-hmm. And he remembered a lot about the march itself. Mm-hmm. But he didn't remember how he met his wife. You know, and it was almost like pulling teeth. But he had been very active in the veterans groups. Mm-hmm. He was their secretary, and he did something like that. But he finished it probably 10 or 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Ray had a copy, and it is so eloquent about his childhood in in Texas, you know, and all the things that he did. And now I skimmed through it to see, he did not talk in this book about the actual combat in the Philippines, which surprised even me because you know, I thought that the whole garrison just surrendered. Mm-hmm. But he was on the front lines, I think he was a sergeant, and, you know, they were using bayonets and hand-to-hand combat. Now, that was not in his memoir, but it came up in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But he had done that, and it was everybody should do that, and you should finish that. And
maybe that guy will publish his book then sometime. Maybe
this isn't really so much about the war. In fact, I've got up to the current. Well, I don't know. I just, all of a sudden I said, who in the hell would ever want to read this? And I quit. And I talked to a couple other people here, John Knight Lillies. They said they started writing their memoirs and they got to think, who in the world would want to read
this? They even had a class around here to help people do it, you know.
You know, they tell you.
I don't have the vocabulary to say what I want to say.
But you're. Grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they would treasure something like that.
They all loved his tape. They all like that, you know.
Yeah, but I bet none of them could even find where they have them anymore.
I don't know. I think so.
I'll bet you they couldn't.
I'll bet they could. Mm-hmm.
But that really is something that you should
pursue, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This tape here is,
yeah,
is a good tape about the Castle Mission and from both sides, from her side and my side. I know my son lost his. He lost a couple other ones for me that I gave to somebody.
But probably everybody around here that's interested hasn't.
But the reason he lost it is because somebody borrowed it and didn't give it back. And the reason they didn't give it back is because they
liked
it.
No, don't believe
it. You never know. Well, anyway, most of the important people in our lives have seen it. The ones around here, they hear about it, and then we have them come over for cocktails, and then we all go to dinner together, and show them the tape, and people enjoy it. So.
But your story, was when I first started doing this. People would say to me, "Oh, you've got to interview Jack Knox," and Dee Dee. Because of all the different elements that go into the Castle Mission, that your story is really one of the more, for all the tragedy, it's one of the more upbeat stories to come out of it.
We made it through, didn't we?
I know all the reunions we went to, I think I was the only 445th member that was injured that went to them. I never saw one time. A couple times it was a fellow in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. There was a Webb Ubelhair. Ubelhair. He was in a wheelchair. Webb. But that was in 1999. He had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an interview with him.
Yeah, we sat with him on the train over to from the airport to Norwich in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
So we met him. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He was in good health then, but he's still living. He's in a
wheelchair. No, he's passed away.
Passed away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to send us a Christmas card. Mm-hmm. We communicated with
all
him
all the time. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. People that I've interviewed, none were interviewed
nobody had
seriously.
A leg off or an arm off or an eye out or anything. I was always the only one.
Now my father's tank battalion, many of them were seriously injured. I wrote a book about one fellow who lost both his legs on a hill in Normandy. He was a tank commander, and the tank was penetrated to shore off his right foot.
Mm-hmm.
Then he lay in no man's land for two nights and 3 days, and the Americans shelled that area, and he lost his other foot. And
that's a real tragedy.
But like Bolt, he was very upbeat, very stoic, the most stoic person I've ever met. He was, and vain. He was a Texan, and tall. He was about over 6 feet, but he would not use a cane, even. He insisted on
doing it on his own. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't use a wheelchair or anything. Then I interviewed a fellow, one who lost an eye, and several who were badly burned, because when those tanks were.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Mm-hmm. How you got out of
there? But they
fuel.
Well, you have to look back and count your blessings.
Yes.
Really, like I say, he's been through a lot, but he's survived. We are survivors.
Yeah.
See that.
And talk about interest. I just got an email from somebody who bought one of my books because his grandfather's story was in the book.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he was so appreciative, that he said the stories in the book were all like his grandfather told, when he was alive, and he was a fellow who had lost an eye, and he when his tank was hit, and he was laying against a hillside, and the Germans were still in the area. He expected to be shot, but he wasn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of them tried to pull a ring off his finger. It wouldn't come off, but they left it there. And all he thought while he was, while this was happening, was that his mother, he had lost a brother in Africa. And now his mother was going to get another telegram that another son was killed. That was what he Mm-hmm. So, and then he survived. But, you know, it, there is a great deal of interest among future future generations.
Well, people we've shown this tape to, they come in and then they say, oh, our kids are coming. We'd like to borrow it and show it to our children.
Yes.
So they get interested in it, too.
And not only that, but you've got two wars going on now. Mm-hmm. And you've got Americans over in Afghanistan and Iraq. When my father came home from World War II, he became very interested in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. That was his, he couldn't read enough about it. Mm-hmm. Give him a bestseller, you know, fiction, no. He wouldn't open it.
But he liked it.
But he loved reading about the Civil War. It's
real things, real life.
And you're gonna have all these people, veterans now, coming home, they're gonna want a hobby.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're gonna wanna read about World War II. Because that's that's something that would be very real to them.
Yeah.